Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my friends, comrades, maybe just listen for the first time. This is the Flats and Shanks podcast, award winning, it's not, but that's what we tell people. How are you, Flats?
I'm good, comrade Shanklin. You sound like Jeremy Corbyn calling us comrades. I'm all right. Well, this podcast is a blessed relief. Would you like me to tell you why?
A Brian blessed relief.
Mate.
Gordon's alive?
Mate. You know, homeschooling is a thing. I mean, you know, it's fine.
I've stopped we'll get it now. With it. Stopped it now, mate. It's not for me. It's not for us.
Yeah. I don't think it works.
They'll learn on the streets, my kids. It's fine. They'll learn on the streets of Penarth, you know, where it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll be better for it. I mean, they'll be...
Yep.
You know.
They're going to trade in Conkers, mate, I told them. No
homeless,
cash.
But
use your Conkers.
It's... I had to invigilate exams this morning.
Okay.
Tests at home, and can't help them. You need silence, and then you're sitting there, and they can't be silent, and it's difficult, and whatever. And then you can't download it, and she's got her own little computer where she can't print off that, so I need to send it to mine. But I don't have Microsoft Word; I have Keynote. And you're like, "Oh my god, this is painful." So you're 40 minutes late getting going, and can I have a bagel? You've had two whole bagels. That's more than Daddy's had. Yeah, I know. Can I have another one? No. Why not? I thought I was meant to be relaxed from my maths test. If I'm not relaxed, I'm hungry. Okay, you're not having one, so get over it. Can I have a fizzy drink? No, you're not allowed fizzy drinks. Can we just get on with the maths? Fine. So you're like, right. And then it's like, you know, there are boxes of crisps coming, but packs of four or packs of eight. There are 36 children. How many boxes do they need? And she's like, right, how many 36s? 8 divided by 36. I'm thinking... No, that's not the sum. That isn't the sum, but you can't say anything. You just got to let them...
Yeah.
It was stressful.
The thing is, though, I know your kids are really sweet, but the way you're portraying them, mate, is not a clear reflection of what they're like.
Okay? No, they're lovely.
Because the way you portrayed that was like, who was the girl from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, Veruca Salt.
Veruca Salt, yes. That's the one. I want a golden ticket, Daddy. I want a bagel, Daddy.
Yeah.
I want a fizzy drink, Daddy.
It's just like...
But I know they're not like that, mate. Salt of the earth. Excuse the pun.
Yeah. No, they're good. They're good. How are you, boy?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. I'm okay.
I reckon we'll see each other soon, you know?
I think so. I played golf yesterday, so that was lovely.
Oh, come on then. Come on, how was it?
I lost to Bubs. He won the first 5 skins, played 10 holes, and... I clawed 3 back, and then we drew on the last 2 holes. So had my chances, mate. Had my chances, but couldn't finish. Couldn't finish. Driving was a bit wayward. Need to work that out. Although it's long, uber long. Still not getting second shots into the green. But
I thought you were only allowed to play 9 at the moment.
Yeah, but the way Glamorganshire course is set up, that where the 9th should be, the 10th should be, is the 9th. So if you play the front 9, you get 8 holes. If you play the back 9, you get 10. All right.
Oh, so you just ignored government advice. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, it's just the way it's set up. All right. Had my AirPods in. Not AirPods. AirPods.
Your AirPods.
Nope, I have my AirPods in.
Why'd you have them in for golf?
I can speak to Bubs then. He's a hole in front. Otherwise, it's quite boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just hear him. I could just hear him heavy breathing a lot. And also, he'd also putt and he'd go, ah, oh, there we are. That's a gimme. I'm like, what's the distance, mate? to the point where there was someone fixing the bunkers on one of the holes because the bunkers are being redone. And he could hear Bub saying to me, oh, that's a gimme. And the bloke raking the bunkers or some of the bunkers said, I wouldn't give you that, mate. Just giving himself 5 foot putts.
Yeah, of course he is.
But then I went home and, as you saw, because I tagged you in on the gram, I cooked amazing Coke de Boeuf.
But that is that looks absolutely smoking. That
yeah.
Now, I've said this before because I post loads of barbecue stuff because I love it. It's a passion. People think I'm an expert. I should write a book. It's like, mate, I am miles off being an expert. I do some good stuff. But I have to follow instructions. Like, I'm not natural. And you do this, you marinate all of yours, and I've never done that. So I've just got a bit of Australian Wagyu through the post.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. And I've got quite a lot of meat has arrived today, actually. And I might marinate. So what do I put it in a dish or what?
Well, I use a freezer bag. You got freezer bags?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So I put it in there. Well, I make the marinade first. But this one was... I found it online. I can't remember from what website, but it had like soy sauce and garlic, salt, pepper, a bit of chili, lemon juice or lime, doesn't matter. And I sent it to you. So mix it all up, oil, and just chuck it, steak in the bag with it. And I just kept it in the fridge for 24 hours. And then I basted it a little bit when I was cooking it. But I'm lucky I got a barbecue that it's got like a searing plate to the side of it, so it gets super hot. I seared it. Yeah. I didn't reverse sear it like you. That's another level for me at the moment. I'm still basic sort of / intermediate.
Mm. I think they're the same thing.
Not advanced. And then it took probably 20 minutes, half hour then. Chuck the old meat thermometer in there. I don't like doing it with touch. You may not be able to do it on your hand, aren't you? Like,
yeah, I never know. Nah, I can't do that. I'm not Gordon Ramsay, mate.
Nor do I. So, and it was just delicious. And I didn't spoil it. I just had it with a bit of couscous.
Oh, lovely.
Part of me, I couldn't be bothered to cook any asparagus or greens. I just thought,
yeah,
you know, that's what multivit's for.
Yeah, exactly. Just have a bag of vegetable crisps or something. Yeah, it looked very nice. What internal temperature did you go for?
So what a treat. I took it out at about, it's obviously the internal temperature is different around the steak, but I took it about 123, 125.
Oh, you go Fahrenheit, do you?
That's what it says on there. So,
didn't know you lived in America.
Just gives itself a little bit of time to cook while I let it rest for 10 minutes, just stared at it. Yeah. And I mean, the rest is history, mate. You know that.
Yeah, I've gone a bit over the top with the meat I've ordered for this weekend. I actually don't have room for all of it.
So where'd you order it from?
I got, well, Field and Flower, obviously. Yeah, but then I've also got 4 racks of ribs. And I've got a whole sirloin cap. So I've got a big picanha coming that I want to do in the rotisserie covered in salt. But problem is, Chris Hoy, Sir Chris Hoy, did this meat challenge.
Yeah,
And he nominated me to do it. So I get a text from someone saying, hello, Flats, what's your address? We'll send, and this meat arrived today, and it's this rack of St. Louis ribs. It's a bit of Australian Wagyu and this amazing ribeye steak, this big ribeye steak. You're like, oh, my God, I literally don't have anywhere to put this. So I'm now legging it down the road to put it in a freezer in a garage down the road because I literally don't have room for all of this protein, but I love it.
I mean, Chris Hoy nominate you on social media. I thought, I know he's not nominated me for a reason because he just knows I wouldn't do it. Knows I wouldn't do it. So out of respect, I knew he wouldn't do it. So,
yeah, he hates the Welsh as well. He always has. He was a wonderful guest and we were due to have a wonderful guest today, weren't we?
We were. Joe Calzaghe was meant to come on the podcast, but unfortunately he's had to pull out. I'm not sure. There's obviously a valid reason, but hopefully we'll get him on next week. He said any other time. It's just something's come up. So, yeah, I mean, what a guess that's going to be as well. I mean,
I wonder if he...
Go on.
Because I sent him all those heads up questions. I wonder if he, this is what we're going to do. And my first question, I wonder if that threw him a bit. Because my first question was, you're obviously one of the best boxers of all time and pretty handy. But do you reckon if I went absolutely psycho and got hold of you and got you at close range and wrestled you, I could beat you in a fight?
Do you mean close range like Steven Seagal?
I mean close range like biting his neck.
Yeah. Would you be wearing studs or Moldies?
Moldies, just in case. Yeah, I didn't. We obviously don't send people heads up questions because we don't know what we're going to talk about. We didn't send him anything. But he has pulled out. Presumably he's got a better offer, like someone's doing a barbecue with G&T's or something.
46 and zero, mate. 46 yep. Wins, no losses. I don't know if any of you have downloaded it, have bought it, but I remember watching it in the cinema when he was promoting it. It was Mr. Calzaghe. It's a documentary about him, and it's brilliant, mate. It's so inspiring. And you go in there and you see, you know, you see these documentaries that are made about sport and heroes, and you're not sure what it's, how it's going to come across, how it's going to be portrayed. But honestly, mate, it's brilliant. I really hope you watch it. You should watch it actually before we get him on the podcast, because it features him, it features his dad. I don't want to spoil it for you, but you know where the family came from. You know, a little thing like his dad was a musician, his dad was a DJ. Joe's boxer coach quit, and his dad sort of said, F it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So, wonderful, wonderful. But, yeah, as I said, we'll try and get him on next week. So, if there's any questions that you would like to ask him, tweet us.
I'm chuffed. I mean, I'm gutted he's pulled out. We'll get him on. And I'm chuffed because you and I aren't really, we don't really like, let's just get the most famous people on we can, because we probably couldn't anyway, but we do the ones that we think are going to be fun. And I absolutely, I mean, everyone loves Chris Hoy, but I absolutely bloody love Joe Calzaghe. I would have watched, I won't have watched 46 of his fights. I'll have watched 20, 25 of his fights and love them and love that guy. So I'm actually really pumped to get him on. It's like, you know, we meet all sorts of people in our line of work, and then went to an event, I've probably told you before in the pod, but go to an event and I'm interviewing Frank Bruno and Ricky Hatton, and it's like, they don't got a clue who I am, but they're just the best blokes, you know, like,
yeah,
love watching these guys, so I'm pumped for that. Yeah. If he actually comes on, if he really respects you.
Yeah, he will. We'll get him on. You know, it's like the Roy Jones Jr., it's Chris Eubank, Kessler, so
plenty. Chris Eubank would be good to get on. I mean, he'd be awful because he's uninterviewable, but he'd be amazing.
What about Chris Eubank and Andy Powell at the same time?
Oh my God.
There we go. That's it. Instead of Joe Calzaghe, though, I mean, don't be disheartened, listeners. We've come up trumps with
Upgraded. We've upgraded. He's a, what we've got is a,
in our
similarly,
eyes, he's a
similarly hard, and he's from the streets. They are the streets of North London, where he lived in a 7-bed detached house in Highgate. And he's now upgraded in the country. But
hit me.
Tell him we've got Mark Smith, aka Mark Durden Smith, a double barrel name steeped in history. He is coming on, and I texted him and said, "You fancy coming on our pod?" He said, "You are scraping the barrel, aren't you?" And I replied, "Yes." Is 1 PM okay? And he said, "Certainly."
Nothing else on. Nothing else on. He's probably picking some grapes from his vineyard.
He's hilarious.
Strawberry picking.
Him? He's either mucking out horses, or he's on his ride-on mower, or he's prepping for an event. I mean, he preps like no one else. It's like he'll put 3 days of work in for an under-10s award ceremony.
He's the type of guy that would make puff pastry as well. Like, he wouldn't just buy it. He'd get someone to make it, all right?
Well, he'd make it and it'd be crap, but because he's such a bumbling, posh buffoon, it would actually be funny that it's crap.
Yeah,
his hero, if I made it, it'd just be crap.
His hero is Hugh Grant. So, yeah, he's coming on. Do you know what? If Mark Dunn-Smith wasn't going to come on, I was going to ring Blum. Reece Blumberg, see if he'll get on. He texted me straight after a couple of pods last week saying, "Did you mention I got a dog in isolation?" It's like, well, it slipped out, mate, but it's no secret, is it? You've been showing it off around social media for the last 2 weeks. But, you know, he made sure he stuck to the guidelines.
I had one of those moments the other day where I found this brilliant photo on my laptop and I just sent it to a couple of lads. This is one of something a player was doing in a game years ago, and I won't say what it was. And I suddenly thought to myself, what if somebody tweets that? There is a good chance this is very bad news for the person. Not bad. It wouldn't be that bad. It would be funny, but he would be really annoyed. And luckily, no one has. So please don't.
Oh, phew. I do have to mention, I would say a mate, but you know you've got people you know, but you have to call a mate, so you're not sort of put on a hit list.
Because, A mate, B mate, C mate, D mate.
Well, it's Andrew Nicholson, Weird Vanders. Weird Vanders, we call him. And he's one of those you have to be friendly with just in case, as I say, he has a hit list and that comes back later in life and, you know, he tries to kill you, for instance. You know, he's edgy, you're unsure of him. So he's recently set up a company called Element Surfacing. Now, you can find it online, www.elementsurfacing.co.uk. And he specialises in resin-bound drives past patios. And the best thing about this, mate, is that you can choose from 46 colours. Not just 7 like the rainbow, 46. No weeds.
Wow.
Slip resistant, wheelchair friendly. So he's set that up. Well done, Veered Vanju. Loves to wear shoes. Roger Moore's. Saw Roger Moore in a live show before, as you know, and he had these pair of sort of trainer shoes on, and Andrew bought them straight away. Also loves, you know, like you see sort of fashionable rugby jerseys like Ralph Lauren or a Farah or a Tommy Hilfiger. He is most comfortable in a rugby jersey and jeans. So there we are. Told you I'd do it.
Yeah, you've done it. Well done. You've sorted him out, haven't you?
Yeah, basically. To all of our 500 listeners. Elementservicing.co.uk. God, I hope we get some royalties.
Christ, we get nothing from that. That's a minute and a half. None of our listeners are ever going to get back for this weirdo.
It's like one of your stories.
Yeah, I know. It's just a dead end.
Yeah.
You realised after you'd started that you said you would, so you had to, but you didn't want to really.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those. How's your training been going?
Say again.
How's your training been going?
Well, I don't do any homeschooling on Mondays and Fridays, so I do the Tuesday, Wednesday,
no
Thursday
one does,
shift.
No one does.
When their mummy works from home. So I tend to train twice between Friday and Monday, basically. So not very much. I did a bit of squatting, bit of bench, nothing crazy. I've not a lot, basically, is the truth. And I have been doing.
Okay, that took a while to say not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot, not a lot, not enough. Not a lot.
You've been phased at home, haven't you? Something's gone on at home. I can tell. You lost your trail of thought.
Should I tell you what it was?
Did a fresh, loaf come out of the oven? You could smell it.
No, my little daughter walked in and twerked and then pretended to do a fart in her hand and throw it at me. So that's what actually happened.
See that? Yeah. You taught me that. Well, when I say you taught me, I don't use it. But I always remember when we were living together and you'd sit on the sofa and you'd let one go and you'd just...
Cup it.
You'd just cup it and you'd waft it into your own face.
Yeah,
Just using your fingers, just waft it. Like that. Ooh.
I remember Danny Grucock did one in a pint glass once, a plastic one, and just pushed it on my face and held the back of my head.
So childish.
And I remember it being the first time I'd experienced that, and it was properly bad. It was really bad. I think I was retching.
I mean, this should be our first question to Durders. I think it should be.
Yeah.
Do you cupcake your kids?
Of course he does. Of course he does. He'll love this. He's texting me as we speak, but I'm not going to read it because I'm concentrating on you, yeah?
Okay.
Should we get into him and see what posh people do in lockdown?
I bet life doesn't change, mate.
No, of course it doesn't.
Not at all. It's probably easier.
Of course it bloody doesn't.
I'll call him now, all right?
All right, good luck to you, fella.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is great. Are we live to the nation?
This is it.
To me, big time. Big time exposure.
Yeah.
This is going to be really big for you, Marky, because we get dozens of listeners, and this could be... I'm amazed you haven't got a podcast already.
It's only a matter of time. I'm in discussions with some quite high-powered people, including Michelle Obama, just so you know.
Mark, can you take us back to the beginning where you were born in Windsor Castle, please, and just tell us how your life progressed?
It's a misnomer, this. Misrepresentation, probably not misnomer is the wrong word, but I am actually, as Flats knows, I always remind him, and this is awkward, let's just admit from the outset, the three of us on the same line is awkward. It's kind of those love triangles we all talk about over history. I don't want to go into those things.
Oh, it's like Jordan, Rodman and Pippen, mate. That's what it's like.
It's a little bit like that. I have other ones, but I realise they're probably inappropriate, actually, and a bit insensitive. So I'm not going to go into the other most famous one. But I just genuinely feel this whole thing, this thing we're doing, is maybe a moment for us all to say, look, there's a bridge we've crossed. Because I'm jealous of you, Shanks. Simple as that. I am Flats' number one. I do know that, but he hasn't probably told you that.
I mean, should we call it Desperation Bridge? That's probably the best way, isn't it?
Shall we?
Well, let's call it Desperation Bridge. But the fact is, I wanted to say Windsor Castle, mean streets of North London, is where I was born. I think you'll find Highgate is one of the toughest places to grow up. And that's why I am
outside of West Hampstead. It's funny, before we got you on, Marky, we were just saying that the person... You are not. We're scraping the barrel, but you were with the person we were due to have on today was Joe Calzaghe, and I said actually very similar blokes, you and he.
I think you joke, David, Luke, but the fact is, I went to the North London Boxing School under Mr. Newman and learned how to look after myself. So if you actually ever attacked me physically, you would find that you'd get quite a lot more than you bargained for.
Like an 1800s style, like an 1800s style of boxing, though, wasn't it?
We called it pugilism.
That's what we called it. Yeah. Yeah, that's
and,
it.
And there was a bit of, and always Queensbury rules, obviously, always Queensbury. Yeah,
of course,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're gentlemen.
Don't hit the face.
Not the face, old boy. Marky, tell us.
Before you move on, actually, just very quickly on the boxing front, that's the one thing. I think my parents did it because I was quite an overweight 10 or 11 year old. I mean, definitely on the, well, I was definitely a beast. And I think it was a weight loss program. And I sort of loved all the sparring with my mate, Ali Midge, and loved the shadow boxing and stuff. But as soon as anybody went anywhere near my nose, I thought, I hate this. And that's actually made me possibly concentrate more on what I eat and put into my mouth. Anyway, back to me and my life story. This is about me, isn't it?
This is all about you. It's more about what you think about me. Tell us about your what lockdown looks like for someone like you. And I don't want to put labels on you, but I think you know what I mean. How is it?
I don't like the way you do this. He pigeonholes me, Shanks. Always pigeonholes. And the fact is, I am a man of modest means.
You haven't furloughed your staff, so that's good, mate. You know, it's a plus in my book.
Fats has got this opinion, Shanks. I'm like, you know, David Beckham, living this life on endless trust fund payouts. It's not quite the way it works, annoyingly. But listen, I am. I suppose the honest answer to that is, I'm doing bits and bobs, including some, terribly inadequate quizzes, which are inevitably shambolic. I love being with the family. I know you two diss your family. I know you're saying that you're irritated by them all. And Shanks, you went out to play last week. You're at your first round of golf and all of that.
Yeah.
But unlike you, you know, I love being in the bosom of my family. And I've got into, which I never said I would do, I'm now into, like this afternoon, and I know you two are going to snigger because you're childish and immature and infantile, but I'm going to trim my wife's vegetable garden with a strimmer this afternoon. I knew you'd do that. You're so childish. It was just an honest reflection of what my afternoon...
Have you got holds. Titch Marsh and Dimmock coming in? Have you got Ground Force coming in?
Do you know been a what? While. I used to have huge respect for those guys, and then and I used to work for Alan Titchmarsh. I know this is about me and my life story. I was his researcher in the olden days. And Judy Spires, you won't remember, you're too young. No. And anyway, the fact is that my mate built a summer house. This is going to add fuel to your mill there, Flats. But he built his summer house in a day, though. No, they laid the foundation.
A swan house, yeah.
No, but anyway, they did it a day last week. So I'm literally the Titchmarsh and Dimmocks and all that. Gone down in my estimate. Well, it doesn't take a day.
A con.
Yeah, it's great that you're spending time with your kids because they literally thought you were their uncle for the first 10, 12 years.
It's nice to get to know them, isn't it?
Oh, so this guy's our dad, is he? Are you homeschooling?
Yeah, are you doing that?
Got on their first flat.
Okay, I thought the first rule of broadcasting, you never speak over each other. I mean, really?
No, we like to. Oh, sorry, I'm doing it now. Am I doing it now? We're doing it now.
I've stopped. I've waited for. Okay, we're doing it. Shanks, and Dave, the idea of homeschooling. I've tried. This is the truth. I know you think I'm bumbling now. I'm going into Boris Johnson mode. I'm not. I have tried to get involved in my Hugh Grant. I'll take.
Keith.
He's gone a bit too political for my liking, though. I mean, he's now very much banging the drum. But my homeschooling looks like me going, please, can I help? Please, I really want to learn about the Peloponnesian Wars because I did win the class Civ prize at my school. And they're all going, leave me alone. I'm going, please. So my homeschooling is very different, I think, annoyingly, to other people's, where my children really don't want me involved and find it really irritating.
You can't grasp Latin, can you, like your kids?
Latin, 8% my first exam. I was asked to give it up for obvious reasons. I wanted to learn more, but the fact is I have worked out how to do percentages. Really easy, as it transpires, but percentages is a walk in the park.
Really easy. I found this morning, Marco, that little Peanut, my older one, she had a maths exam that I had to invigilate, and I was very strict, wore a hat, and whacked her with a cane a few times on the soles of her feet. But then one of the sums, she said, Daddy, I can't do this. I said, I'm not allowed to help. Can you just look at it? I looked at it and thought, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that.
That's embarrassing. Sorry, that is unprofessional. That's my sister as well. You know, that was a family. Again, locked down.
Anyway, they all died in the end. I couldn't do it. I thought, I don't understand the question. I mean, she's 10. I don't understand the question. And I got good grades. I was an A student in maths, Marky, believe it or not.
Is that a lie?
/ B or C or D, but I did some. Yes. And
yes.
I mean, some of this stuff is not easy. That's my point. The terminology's changed. The jargon's changed, Marky.
No, it's interesting that my sister rang at that particular time because that is relevant because every time I've tried to help with maths homework, I end up calling my sister, who somehow, she's really stupid. I was always the favoured child. It's been a difficult thing. But somehow her offspring are brilliant at maths. They're all brilliant at maths. I mean, they can do A-level maths. So I ring them up every time I need a maths question answered. But you talk about lockdown and schooling. Do you think the greatest thing I've learned, everybody? Do you want to know?
Go on. Mm-hmm.
I've always not respected men who wear the invisible sock. This is the truth. Yep. And I've now, because in lockdown, I've been wearing, a similar pair of trainers, pretty much the same pair of trainers for now 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was getting complaints when you sit down at the end of the day to maybe put your feet up and watch a family movie, whatever it is. I was getting complaints and I felt like I was unclean. The invisible sock. And there are some that are genuinely invisible. I mean, what a revelation. I think the fact that I, a proper alpha male, can wear them and don't feel awkward about it, I think it's all okay.
Are you talking about ankle socks, Mark? Is this what you call invisible socks, or the ones that just go over your toes and just come up to the back of your heel? You'd wear with like a pair of loafers.
Thomas, the very fact, no, please. It's not, the ankle sock, I don't think that's acceptable. I just don't, unless you're on the golf course and you're worried about your tan, which you always seem to be worried about your tan, as far as I can work out, because you're on the sort of pastel side of shades. But the fact is, I'm talking about the invisible sock. You can't see my sock. I'm looking down at it now. It is utterly invisible. Anyway,
they're a real thing. Mm.
Yeah, they're a real thing. So I should ask you two. I mean, is it all just you asking me questions? Can I ask you the odd question?
Well, as you know, you've seen me do interviews. I like to ask the questions, but really I want to answer them myself. So I could do with no guests. It's almost like we've got Frank Bruno here today to sell the tickets, but could Frank just stay in his chair so I can just do an hour talking about my answers to questions? That's how I prefer it.
What was Harry like?
That's what I assumed.
Marco, people
is Megan actually really nice?
Tomo.
Yes.
Tomo.
People forget that, you know, you learnt your trade on the rugby club many, many moons ago. Tell us about that. Tell us about working with Stuart Barnes and Dowie Morris on the sofa.
Oh, God, yeah.
God, that's nostalgia, isn't it? This is going to get me weeping, and you've only got 43 minutes on this podcast. And so I was hoping you were going to talk about my rugby career where I was, you know... No, I was fullback at Durham in the second team while Phil de Glanville was in the first team year above, even though we shared the same birthday.
And when you hit the line, the line slowed down. Yeah.
There was a bit of that going on. Yeah. Anyway. But Phil de Glanville never picked me, but my friend who I took on holiday to Judith Chalmers' villa 3 years in a row while we were at Durham finally picked me in the team in my last year. And I can only apologise to Rob Abernathy, whoever he is out there. If you listen to this podcast, Rob Abernathy, I can only apologise because I was deeply inferior to the second team fullback who should have been picked, but he wasn't. You know, he didn't take Chris Key on holiday.
It's a silly boys' club, isn't it? It's like, look at our prime minister. It's all his cronies. They all went to the same schools. You're part of that set, and you just, in the end, you just get the job, you get the gig, you get selected. So it's fine. We all know how it works.
Mummy was Judith Chalmers, great. Wasn't she? I mean, I'm using the same terminology as you there, Mummy.
I call her Yo Jude. The fact is, I've never obviously pawned off my parents' success in life because I'm a tragic loser. The fact is, my dad was more important in my rugby career. I remember I played against Cambridge because obviously, you know, I was very good, very talented, and this next day in the Telegraph, this incredible write-up, I said, Mark Dunsmith, absolutely amazing at fullback, incredible speed. And I was thinking, who is that? I had all my mates realise I'd had an absolute shocker, as I tended to do, by the way. But, oh man, I'm back. You're back.
Hi, Mark. Sorry. How are you?
That's what happens when your stories go on too long, all right? It automatically disconnects you. So...
I totally get it. I felt a bit sheepish. So yes, let's move on. Carry on.
So what happened? Your dad had written the column, had he?
He hadn't actually written it, but he sort of dictated it to his mate who worked for the Telegraph. So I had a couple of those. So, and I'd always remember. I can't use the word because you don't have swearing in your podcast. I'm pretending I've listened to your podcast. I listened to last week's. So that's what you said last week. And I was playing another game for Durham, and these guys had read these reports. And at the end of the game, I was walking behind these people. They didn't know I was behind them. And they said, God, that Durden Smith bloke, he was meant to be brilliant. He was shit. So that is when I realised that I should retire. There you go. An apology for the language. I don't like swearing.
I remember being in the tunnel at King's Home, and... I just played for Bath against Gloucester, and Trevor Woodman, I was against Phil Vickery, but Trevor Woodman had played 80 minutes for Gloucester. I played 80 minutes for Bath, and none of the props had changed and all that sort of stuff. There was no reason for confusion, but I went into the tunnel and I saw a woman I recognised from one social event or another, and I realised she was Trevor Woodman's girlfriend at the time, no longer together. But anyway, I said, how are you doing?
She is. Yeah.
And she said, how are you doing? Yeah, good. And basically the next day they were announcing the England squad, or the following Monday announcing the England squad. And I was mucking around and I said, Trev walked past. I said, Trev had a shocker today. Absolute shocker. There's no way they can pick him. What a joke. And he'd played brilliantly. He was excellent. Might have even been banned in the match. He was awful. Even though he's on all the steroids, we're having a bit of a joke. And he walked off and his girlfriend said to me, yeah, as long as they don't pick Leonard or Flatman, I don't care who else they pick. Just neither of those two. It rhymes with anchors. I was like, yep. I was like, I agree entirely. Good evening to you.
That hurts. And actually, funny enough, the fascinating fact about that is that girl you were talking about, I know exactly who she is. She's a friend of mine's sister who was the best dancer at Durham University. So he claims.
Just oh, so wow.
You know, yeah.
Exotic stuff anyway. Or street?
No. No, more the dance. Kind of Greece from the 70s.
Oh, okay. Anyway, my question originally was, what was it like on Sky Sports? The rugby club.
You're getting Thomas, are you exasperated already?
He gets like this.
He knows time.
He knows it's good content, but he actually can't. Just, he hates not sticking to a script.
No, it's just you ask a question. Sometimes you want it answered. I mean, you know, I've had so many people ask me about this, about your time in Sky and the drug scandal.
Not a scandal. It was a good night.
It was a night out with. No, I tell you what. The truth is, I am a big fan of Stuart Barnes and Darren Morris's, but Stuart, for some reason, I think you know, people take to a commentator or they don't, do they? You experts, you either are loved, or some people think you're a bit too controversial, then you get, you know, fatwas against you. That's probably insensitive as well, but you know what I mean. People make voodoo dolls. So Stuart was the most polarizing human I've ever worked with, because most people in a pub come up to you and they wanted to talk about Stuart Barnes, and they started off with, he's a XXX, isn't he? And I always used to say, no, he isn't actually. I think he's brilliant at his job and he's very perceptive and all that kind of stuff. So actually, they were two peas out of a very different pod. The way it was sold to Sky and the old boss there, Vic Wakeley, in the olden days, was that we had the brains and the brawn. We had the passion and a bit more sort of cerebral stuff from Stuart Barnes. So Dowie was there, and obviously Dowie's pronunciations of the French, because I was there in the olden days, where of the French rugby players was legendary. I used to have a little book of Dowie's pronunciations. And the first year of the, I think it was the Heineken Cup, 1997, which Bath won. Were you there, Flat?
Oh, still in school. Thank you.
Still in school. Okay, there we go. And it was just one of those things. From 1 to 15, he got them all wrong. It was just brilliant. It was just magnificent.
I remember one of my favourites of his that we adopted. We were about to play Beer Itz and we watched a load of footage and whatever, and Imanol Arunodiki, he called him Hardy Nordiqui. Hardy Nordiqui. So with a hard H, Hardy Nordiqui. And then we started saying it on a Monday morning session. The thing with Hardy Nordiqui is, but we had Martin Haag was our coach, I think, at the time, and he obviously assumed we were right, so he just started calling him Hardy Nordiqui. Half-time, he said, that fucking Hardy Nordiqui, can we get hold of him? Looking at each other, it's all because of Dowie.
We had a load of line-outs in Wales, right, and it was to do with car names, and Maserati was one, Ferrari was another. And
to drive.
Dav Jones had to get up in a meeting and speak about the line-outs, and he's going, yeah, so when we call Maserati, it's going to the front. Everyone was just, mate, what's that? Say it again. Maserati.
What's that now? I love it. And one of the great ones, I remember John Wells, who was Leicester Tigers coach, and they were playing Toulouse or whatever, and John Baptiste Pooks played for them. And I remember just the lads, every time you say John Baptiste Pooks, the loose head's name, they would just crack up, because Wellesley came in at half time. He said, "Somebody get Pooh off the ball." It was a hard exit. Pooh, he's all over the bloody. Get him off the bloody ball. Pooh's everywhere. That's game over.
Do you know what? I'm having such a nice time here. By the way, Dally gave up and called him Harry Donkey. That was the just the flip note to that story. Old Harry Donkey. But I'm having a lovely time on your podcast. It's the greatest 45 minutes of my lockdown experience. And I remember doing a program, I'm not one to name drop, but with Bradley Walsh, you know, I'm a friend of the stars.
I love him.
Dorno Porter was on another boat, but I had Bradley Walsh, me and Rosemary Schrager, the chef, on this. I nearly said the Shrek.
Put your teeth in, mate. Put your teeth back in. Put those gold veneers back in.
She is lovely. But anyway, we had this really amazing 3 weeks going on these various different boats, including a World War One sweeper and a big yacht, which is an 82-foot oyster yacht. And we giggled. Bradley and I giggled the whole way through it. And I thought it's the best TV that's ever been made. And they cut every single giggly bit out.
Oh, really?
So I'm worrying for your listeners whether this is the worst podcast they've ever listened to.
The thing is, I can't be bothered to edit it. I'm just going to put it out live. What I do want to ask you both is that, when are we going to see Channel 5 Live Rugby back on a Monday night?
Are you missing it, Shanks?
I'm missing the links.
You're missing the link. Thank you, Shanks.
I'm missing the links.
That's a really good question. Dirty always speaks to more people than I do at the top. But
Dirty.
He's kind of the dad. But then I've been wondering, Marky, when games start being played behind closed doors, presuming they'll be behind closed doors. And by the way, I was told recently there is a significant chance that all of next season might be played behind closed doors as well, which sounds crazy, but it could be true. Are you and I still going to be there? What I'm asking is,
I am. As you say, I talk to people. I'm going to be there. They've decided that because of they furloughed you, unfortunately, until the 2021-22 season. If that's okay.
On 80% of nothing. Brilliant.
You've got Topsy Ojo, Matt Banahan, Danny Kerr, everyone bar flats.
See, Shanks, you watch. You watch, Shanks. I love that.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
The fact is, Shanks, that we will be back as soon as we possibly can be. But we do have 5 live games on Channel 5 as well. So if this season does crank up, that we will be doing our 5 live games on Channel 5, hopefully.
I mean, Flats did try and scaremonger us then by saying there's no more rugby to be played ever. Every single game from now on is behind closed doors.
Negative agenda. I'm with you.
He's a scaremonger, mate. He says he doesn't like it, and then he uses it himself. You know, such a hypocrite alert.
My point is, we will be behind those closed doors with the players, will we not? That's what I'm thinking. I don't want to be at home watching it. I want to be there working.
Flats, can you just say that rugby will be back to normal next year? Can you not say it's behind closed doors? It's making me feel down. Please.
I actually don't think it will be behind closed doors. Because there's a possibility. That's all I said.
Open but doors, but no one's let in.
Negative, never.
I think by about 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the world will be completely back to normal. Perfect. And we will have more work than we can manage, and we'll all be French kissing people at the co-op. So I think everything's going to be fine.
Good, Marky.
Are we going? Are we? If it's behind closed doors, are we going to be there too? Please say yes.
No, I believe we will be, but you have to be tested because you know you are. I know it's not. We shouldn't be trivial about these things because some people have had terrible times. But you know, there is a rumor going around that you were the most super of the super spreaders. So you will definitely need to be tested significantly, maybe more than once. But I think we'll be there. I'm hoping we'll be there because you know I think it's a contractual thing. That's what it all boils down to, isn't it? People have contracts and to their broadcasters. Yeah. And I think we all know that the big moolah makes a loud old noise in these things.
Flats reckons he had it in February.
I had February and March, I think.
2018.
Yeah, no, my wife was saying that. She was very ill at Christmas. And I was thinking, we did have a bat in the barn outside. And I'm thinking, ooh, could it have been Rachel Burden-Smith?
there was me thinking you were having a cricket net with your wife in your barn, but it was actually...
No, he has a bat. His bat's called Churchill and it wears a pink bow tie. Lovely, I think.
Please stop painting this terrible picture. Shanks, how did your golf guy... I listened to that last week.
I played again yesterday.
That's miserable.
But Mark, if you put earphones in, you can chat to your mate. So I had a mate in front, Bubs, you've met him. You know, had a long chat with him at Cheltenham.
Bubsy, a couple of years ago.
I listened to him breathe for 10 holes, but he was playing a hole in front. So at least we can keep talking. We spoke about it already. You know, just gives himself 5-6 foot putts all the time. Would have got it.
Mark, did you play golf?
I like playing golf. I'm pretty average at it. I'm an 18 handicapper, and Shanks is probably a single. Are you a single man?
Yeah.
What are you, Shanks?
Well played.
Officially 9, but I mean, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I can play to 6 sometimes. So
is Matt Banahan better than you, or are you better than him?
Banahan is better. He's better. Plays more, doesn't he?
He plays 8 days a week.
His family don't like him, so you know, I'd rather be a decent golfer, but be loved by my family rather than being a really good golfer and being hated. So
yeah.
What do you do with your flagpoles in Wales?
They're in, but there is a little bit of rubber which stops the ball dropping down the hole.
Oh, that's clever. That's really good.
Yeah, no.
We're
good at other stuff, mate, like coal mining.
I'm married to a Welsh. And how dare you think that I'm anti the Welsh? I am married to a Welshman. My children, as you know, you've met. I'm not one of those.
No.
And if you need a good solicitor in Swansea, John Moore Solicitors. Do you take advertising? Do you want a little...
Go for it. We've had plenty already.
John Moss, for all your legal needs, go to Swansea and find John.
For all of your illegal needs, Swansea-based illegal needs, he knows every bastard. Come on in.
If you're into trafficking drugs.
I can't wait till the world get back to normal. I can get back to that.
I think that will do us today, guys. Are you happy with that, Flats?
Too much.
Just very quickly, I am going to play tennis now with my daughters. I'll say this quietly because they're downstairs, both of whom are garbage at tennis, but love it. I'll spend the whole day at the net picking up balls. Mark, what are you doing? Tom, what are you doing?
I'm always going to defer to Thomas first. Oh, do you want to finish with Tom? Tom's going to top it off. I tell you what, you know what I'm doing. If you were paying any attention to what I said, I am going to literally strim my wife's vegetable garden. But I would just a little top tip for you: a low to high with your daughters. Low to high. It's all about low That's to good. High with your racket. Yeah, there you
good
go.
Stuff that.
And then yeah. I'm also going to. This might interest you both enormously. My children, for some reason, got bored the other day, dug a hole in a field because they wanted to make an underground bunker. And so we are laying turf that we're going to dig off the field on the seats they made in their underground bunker.
Very nice.
Great stuff.
Right. So I'll take us home, shall I, with what I'm going to do?
Us home. Yes, please. Take us home.
I'm going to take up my patio slabs. I've got a load of decking, which has been delivered to the house. I'm going to measure all that out. I'm going to even it out. And I'm going to lay a load of decking. Right.
And you could do that yourself, Kenny Shanks, all yourself.
I'm lying, mate. I'm going on a bike ride. I could never do that. All right.
I'm thinking, Christ, who are you?
Before I go, can I have one last thing?
MacGyver.
Have one last recommendation. Can I have yes. one, apart from paving stones, because I can give you my find of the lockdown in terms of family viewing. Atypical on Netflix is brilliant.
Okay.
It's about a guy with autism, and it's really funny, I think, for all the family. It's 12 and above.
Okay.
But can I have brilliant. One? We need a new one. We need a new one for his family.
Well, I've done a few, Mark, with mine. Flats, he just makes his kids watch Top Gear and Ready, Steady, Cook. But I've done Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've done Kindergarten Cop. I've done Twins. And yesterday we did Shallow Hal.
Oh,
Shallow
Hal,
good. Great.
All funny.
My kids just love Silent Witness.
Mine's a series. Oh, no, do it. I want a series, a box set. I don't want a movie. I want one, you know, long-running, the one that keeps on giving.
Last Dance.
Last Dance, but not for kids. Oh, Last Dance on Netflix is one of the best things you will ever watch, Marky. I promise thee.
No, I don't believe you both because you're both obsessed by American sports and I'm not. So that's
not into American sports at all. I don't watch any.
Okay. Good recommendation. Thank you.
I even got it. Yeah. Anyway, just it's fabulous. Have a watch.
Watch it now, Mark, while it's current. Don't watch it like a year or two down the line because you want to talk to people about it. Okay.
Skip the streaming.
Okay. It's like trying to start Game of Thrones now. It's too late.
I did it this year because Bats insisted, and actually insisted that I kept on going. I think it was you, one of his rugby. You know, actually you are his only true.
Nick Abandonen had to insisted I did it.
Yes, I'm exactly. So glad okay, that's right. And you insisted I did it. But the other thing I think you should watch is Gladiators with your children because it's a bit gory but useful to, you know, in terms of learning about the olden days. What,
the series or with Eureka?
No,
and
that's
John?
A film.
Or... not with Fash. Not Fash.
Okay.
Not with Fash. Oh, he hasn't come across well on SES. Who dares?
No, he rarely does on TV as it goes. But there you go. Okay.
All right. Watch The Gladiator, the true Marcus Aurelius.
And Normal People, have you watched that? Are you both enlightened enough to watch
Yeah, oh, people? Crikey, yeah. Not Shanks' cup of tea, too emotional, but I loved it.
Oh, my God, that is slow moving, but God, it gets into your soul.
It does, yeah. Okay. It's excruciating, actually.
Well, I don't want to get into my soul, so too scared what I'll find.
Yeah, leave that idea. Well alone, Shanks, leave it well alone.
Marky, anyway. happy streaming and don't go too close to the bone, okay?
Well, thank you for having me and thank you for scraping the barrel. It's taken you how many years have you been doing this podcast?
11.
And slagging me off every
Too
single
many,
one of
baby.
The
yes.
Yes.
You're great. You're one of the top 10 rugby presenters in the country. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much indeed, both of you. Merry Christmas and stay well. What do they say? Stay well and safe and healthy.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. Hope you're well at this funny time is what people say. Hi, Mark. Hope you're well.
I'm ending
anyway,
this now, guys.
Well.
All right. I'm ending it because we
goodbye.
Can't say goodbye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye, Mark.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bloody nice guy. Bloody good rep. That's what I say.
Never liked him. Never took to him.
We should call him every day, mate. Cheered me up.
Oh, it's great. Especially when he had, I mean, no one knows, but we know kind of thing. Especially when he had the illness. It was brilliant.
I know. We should have probably touched on that. But, I mean, you ask him a question. You know, he's worse than you for going off piste.
He's way worse than me.
Mm.
He's way worse.
But he brings it back, doesn't he?
Sorry?
He brings it back round. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say that to his face, though. Funny to look at.
He's great, isn't he?
Neck like a pug, isn't he, Flats? You know, it's a lot of...
Awful.
There's a lot of fat on that neck. You know, you could pick him up like a pug or a young puppy.
Long, thin legs, short back, wide rib cage. Not a good mix.
No.
Right, keep going. I'm off to play tennis now. Jouer de Tenny.
I'm going to lay some decking. All right.
That's very good. Well done.
See you later, mate.
Cheers, all. Well done, guys. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.